What's up, cool kids? Welcome back for another episode of the Ghoulish Gallery. My cohorts are both passed out, so hopefully it stays that way. I am Tasha, and each week, mostly, I will talk to a guest from all over the place, somewhere in the US, somewhere across the world, to hear all about their local spooks, cryptids, haunted places, all the good fun things. And we are also now part of the You Run podcast, which is on every social media platform you can imagine. The main hub is over at YouRunPodcast.com, and you can check out our show along with several others, including Video Tasties. Gareth is on Instagram and YouTube, and he does a lot of super cool shorts with movies from every year, the top 10 movies from every year, a lot of his favorites, all the good stuff. So this week we are hitting a new state. I have not talked to anybody from New Jersey yet, and we have Walt Keegan, who also happened to be the one who won the giveaway with Damien.
Yay.
So, yay, all the good things. It's never a bad thing to win something from Damien Casey. So, what? Because your page is super cool too, and not just because you have like the cutest French bulldogs ever, but give us a little rundown of what kind of things you get into.
Sure. I know you have a lot of writers on your podcast, and though I wasn't a fiction or creative writer, I was an English major and was a professional writer for 25 years, but it was technical
Oh,
writing.
nice.
So it's process procedures, how-to manuals, web pages, stuff like that. So nothing all that fun or exciting, but I am from the writer side. I do dabble some writing online, just with all over the place, because I still like to do that creativeness. Right now, the most fun thing I do is I work part-time at a comic book shop. So I am like their vintage toy guy, and like I sort thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands of comics in like their warehouse. So like just today, we got 5 pallets of vintage toys that I just have to go through boxes and boxes and boxes and look stuff up and see what it is and sort it and get stuff ready for the store. And luckily that gives me time to be by myself and listen to podcasts. And said I did about a 5 to 6 hour backlog of your podcast, so I'm prepared and
That's perfect. There's nothing better than being able to just pop in your earbuds or your headphones and just handle your business, especially if your business is random vintage toys. Like, that's got to be so cool.
But I mean, from a horror standpoint, I was always into horror movies, maybe even too young. There's a website, if you ever heard of it, called Kinder Trauma. Did you hear that?
Don't know that I've heard of that one.
So it's basically they take stories from like people's childhoods of movies and TV shows that gave them trauma as a child. So I wrote a few things for them, and like I have like my earliest memory was this terrible. I was sitting in a car, and there was a in from the windshield a bloody head crashes through the windshield, and I've had this vision in my head since I was a little kid, and I'm like, I don't know if it was a dream or what it was. And maybe about 15 years ago, I'm sitting watching a movie called Burnt Offerings with my wife. And if you ever saw
Seen
Burnt
that.
Offerings, okay. So I'm not gonna, anybody who hasn't seen it, I'm not gonna give away. It's kind of almost the psycho-ish twists at the end. But at the very end, Oliver Reed falls out of the window, and there's a child, his son is in the car, and Oliver Reed's head comes crashing through the windshield. And I stood up as I'm watching this with my wife, pointing at the screen, like, that's it. That's the memory. That's the thing in my head. And it like I must have been 3, 4, 5 years old when my parents let me
Oh,
just sat
God.
in front of the TV and made me watch Burnt Offerings. And that has been in my head. So it's like
Not crazy.
yeah, I'm like, did I see a vision? But yeah, it was
Oh,
Burnt
my
Offerings.
gosh.
It was Oliver Reed's face that was haunting. But I always did. I like when I was a kid, when we got HBO, only allowed R-rated movies from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. So I had to wake up really early in the morning to like creep downstairs and actually watch to see what I can, what arm rate. So what was on all the time was Motel Hell. So like it must have been on multiple times a week. So I would just watch the last hour of Motel Hell all the time as a kid. Same thing with
I
Poltergeist. Poltergeist was always on. And
just saw Motel Hell for the first time like last week, and boy, that is a
I have the
good
shirt.
crazy one.
I have a shirt with him and his sister on it.
I
They solve
really
climate
need to bump
critters
up.
to make
I gotta
farmer.
bump up my shirt game. It needs some work.
Yep. So I mean, horror. I've been always into horror stuff, and then cryptids has been more recent. I mean, living in New Jersey, the Jersey Devil has always been around.
Oh, of course.
My favorite hockey team was the New Jersey Devils, so it was always a thing. But only recently, I love the stories and stuff, but I never really got into it. And if you know the Carpetbagger on Jacob the Carpetbagger on YouTube, you'll hear him.
I follow him on Instagram now. I haven't
Okay.
gotten around to his YouTube yet.
Okay. He's great. I've been following him for years, and basically he's at the Loveland Frog Man Festival today. So
I'm so jealous.
he just did a whole video today that I watched. The Loveland Frog Man. But he kind of got me into it, and that kind of hopped me around to a bunch of people on Instagram and cryptotheology, and grabbed some t-shirts and what do I got behind the Cryptid Comforts. I got my Mothman.
Oh, yes. Mine is back here behind me in a cardboard box away from the dogs.
Well, the cryptid thing
to
has been like really getting into cryptids has been relatively new, but horror has been lifelong.
That's awesome. I'm trying to remember, funny enough, like my first traumatizing moment with horror, I do not recall. But my mom, like I'm 36 years old now, and to this day, my mom gets pissed off every time she talks about the cousin that turned on Alien. And I can't remember what year it came out. I was born in 87. So I
71.
was young enough. She said I just had nightmares for like 2 weeks and would just run screaming around the house. And she's like, I have never stopped being irritated that he showed you that movie at that age. I'm like, well, the good news is I don't remember it. So I guess it's just your trauma instead of anything I had to deal with. Yeah,
Alien.
I'm very
Sorry.
with the moving around I've done. I'm really disappointed that because cryptids are kind of a like if I saw a documentary, I'd always be super interested in watching it, but I didn't go out of my way to find anything. So it isn't until the last couple of years when, I've lived all over the place and I could have researched all these really cool things while I was there. Now is when I pick the time to really get the interest. So doing this and being able to talk to people from all over the place has been fantastic.
And those stories are great, whether made up just to get tourists, who cares? The stories are
Oh
fun.
yeah, absolutely. Our beloved little Hodag. All right. So what you got for us?
Well, I thought I'd kind of hit some haunted places that I have kind of firsthand experience with. And it's
Let's
kind of
go.
like I think it's the first thing that I have brought up with you is this place called Jake Brown Road. I live in central New Jersey, so kind of maybe 25 minutes, I mean 25 miles, about 45 minutes or so south of New York City, kind of in the middle of New Jersey, and probably about a half hour away from the actual Jersey shore. So I always grew up in, going to the Jersey Shore, being around ocean, but all this kind of takes place in that kind of central Jersey area. So this place called Jake Brown Road, we always talked about it in school, especially in high school, as the weirdness. People talk about weird places, and they're like, "There's this weird place off of Route 9 in Old Bridge." Which is like was like 10 minutes away from where we grew up, maybe even less. And it's like aliens took people. It's a whole entire like cul-de-sac, and the all the buildings, all the houses are empty, except all the stuff, all the people's belongings, all their furniture, all their clothes, all everything is still in the houses. And they're like, it must have been aliens. It was a mass disappearance or something happened. Somebody took all these people. You got to go down. You got to see it, but don't go at night. Or you go at night, you're going to get, taken by aliens or something. So it was always something like, this is weird. And whenever we get our license, we're going right to Jake Brown Road.
Naturally.
So we still, I mean, this is when I was in high, internet's not there yet. We can't look this stuff
Yeah.
up. And sure as heck, you go down to Jake Brown Road when we got our license, and it's a cul-de-sac. It has probably 15 to 20 houses, all look the same. And then there's a little playground with the, like the little cars on springs that kids would sit on and a
Oh, yeah.
merry-go-round and a slide, but it's all abandoned. And it's all been, people have been in and out of it, ripping it apart. But there's toys and dolls and, there's stuff in the refrigerator. It's like people disappeared and didn't take their stuff with them. And then
Shit.
if you drive further down the road, there's a big fence and it's government, stay out. And then there was stories about what's beyond that fence. They're like, oh, there's a house and there's a it's swampy land around there. There's a crazy man, you'll see stuff. We never went past that. So find out. This was what was called a Nike missile base. So during the Cold War, they had the government set up all these little missile bases with surface to air missiles to blow up planes from Russia that may drop a nuclear bomb on us.
Oh,
So
shit.
this facility opened up in 1955. And what they did was beyond that gate was where the missiles were. And that little cul-de-sac was all the houses for the government officials that the guys work or the military worked on the missile base and their family stayed in this cul-de-sac. And there was hundreds of these across the country, focused mostly on like major cities like New York, Washington, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, and they all had these groups of missile bases, 20, 30 miles away from the city that would shoot, that were set up to shoot out of the air anything from Russia that was going to drop a bomb on us. So it says when I look up, when I finally look this stuff up, that it was shuttered in 1968. The stuff that we found, and I went back there probably in the early 2000s with my wife. And I have a bunch of pictures. Like, if you actually search Jake Brown Road on the internet, you'll find my old Tumblr page, if you remember what Tumblr was. And I know it's
Oh
still
my
out there,
goodness.
but I had a Tumblr page and I posted all my pictures from a really like early digital camera that I had. So the pictures are really small and kind of grainy. But all the pictures of every inside the houses, all like the toys that are still strewn across the brass, all their furniture, it was still there.
No, it's
And
horrifying.
it was newer stuff. It wasn't stuff that was from 1968. So I still don't know if they allowed people to live there in government housing or something for a while. But at least by the late 80s, early 90s, it was abandoned and kind of too many people have been in and out ripping the place apart and partying over there.
Well,
So I think the funniest thing I said I found is like currently they knocked all that down, they raised it down, and they're supposed to build a warehouse there now because it's right off a major highway. But the thing I said was the township owns a little more than 6 acres of it, and an undisclosed parcel in quotes of the land is still owned by the U.S. government. So there's still people thinking that there's something else back there. Where I guess where the actual missile base was beyond that gate. We always had this, it was always an alien. Aliens came down and took all these people and they just disappeared and didn't take their stuff.
Well,
So it was fun while it lasted and we figured out what it was, but it's still something weird
yeah. Oh,
Since it was
absolutely.
1968, but I don't believe you.
Anytime the government gets involved, it's like, oh man, what are they doing? They've seized everybody. Like, oh, there's something about abandoned playgrounds and toys, just things that are geared toward kids that are just extra creepy to me. I don't know what it is, but
Yeah, one of the
oh.
pictures I took was a picture of a doll, kind of thrown up against. There was it was like a dresser. The dresser was out in the lawn, clothes are everywhere, a doll, and then like a picture of Jesus next to the doll. And I took that picture. I'm like, it was the creepiest picture. I'm like, this is creepy. This is weird.
Oh, God. I love that it was like aliens that somebody came up with because there's so many other routes they could have taken with that.
Yeah.
I
No,
feel
they had
like
to
aliens is not the most common path for something like that. So I'm always on board with aliens. It makes me think of like Chernobyl documentaries and things like that where people just have to ditch everything and run. And everything is just left there to decay.
you look at the picture,
The
like the creepiest picture is that playground, and it's just, rotted, rusted kids like playground. Slide and that merry-go-round thing that you make yourself sick on by spinning yourself in a circle. And there was a little rocket
back in
ship
the good
on
old
the
days.
spring that bounced back and forth. And it was just like, this is weird. This is just like, this is like Terminator 2 waiting for the bomb to drop. It's like, ugh.
It is a whole vibe. I gotta look that up now. Yeah, there's just
There's some
something
info.
about
There's some other people have posted some pictures from there. There's not a lot of information on GeoVu. There's some other people have took pictures before they knocked it all down.
Yeah, I'm sure that was disappointing for a lot of people. Oh, look, there it is. Jake Brown Road, Weird, New Jersey.
They were definitely there.
Huh. Oh man, that is creepy.
I can jump to the second creepy place that's literally 2 miles away
Yeah.
from Jake Brown Road. It ties into like one of my favorite horror movies. Like I've got, you talk about Alien, that's right up there. Halloween is up there. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Just for fun, House of a Thousand Corpses. Have to watch that every year. It's just, I just think that's a fun
Yes.
movie. And a movie that some may say not is not a horror movie, but I say it is Jaws.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So Jaws is based on the Matawan Maneater. The Matawan is like the next town over from Old Bridge, right where Jake Brown Road is. And in 1916, a shark found its way up the Jersey coast, got into an inlet, got into a creek, and killed three people, including 11-year-old boy. That story was the inspiration for Peter Benchley's Jaws. And if you
Wow.
do a search on Google Maps for Matawan Maneater, you'll see somebody spray painted basically that Jaws head on the train trestle. It's like a train bridge that's like it's got a half circle. They painted the Jaws head on that half circle with spray paint. Did a mural. And it says 1916 next to it, and it's right in the area where the attacks happened. So the story of this is it was 1916 between July 1st and 12th. It was a really hot summer, and they said it was either a great white or a tiger shark, but no one was 100% sure. And on July 1st in Beach Haven, which is down south Jersey, a shark came up, bit a guy's legs, and he bled to death. So, because it was hot, and we're talking 1916, so there's not air conditioning, people just rushed to the Jersey Shore. That's where they got into the ocean. They're like, there's a shark, people shouldn't go in there. And Jersey Shore remained open. There's your Jaws right there. It's like, there's a shark here. Don't let people in the ocean. People came into the ocean. They didn't shut it down. So 5 days later in Spring Lake, so the shark is moving up, moving north, bit another man and he bled to death. So it's two kills. And on July 12th, it's the biggest and strangest of the attacks. There was a man named Thomas Cottrell, and I used to live off Cottrell Road, so he's been immortalized in Old Bridge. He's a sea captain, lived in Matawan, and he spotted an 8-foot-long shark in the creek. Like the shark came out of the ocean and went in this narrow inlet and came into the Matawan Creek. The town's like, no way, there can't be a shark here. It's just a swimming hole. It's just like a little creek. So nobody paid attention to him. Bunch of kids were swimming in the creek. They thought it was a twig or a log, and then saw the dorsal fin. There we are, Jaws again. And a kid, Lester Stillwell, who was 11, got bit, and the shark pulled him underwater. His friends ran to the town to get help, and a guy, a businessman named Watson Stanley Fisher, who's 24, came in, saw the kid, jumped into the creek to save Lester, the first kid attacked. He gets attacked. Let's go with the first kid. He dies. The other kid dies. They still don't get everybody out of the water, and the shark attacks another person who dies 30 minutes later. So that's three people dead in the creek.
Ugh.
And then the shark disappeared. So this story, there's a few documentaries, they always talk about it on Shark Week and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But this story was, I mean, you can see where the Jaws parallel thing came from, and that basically was the inspiration for the movie. So there's still, you can go to the Rose Hill Cemetery in Matawan and see Lester Stillwell's grave and Watson Stanley Fisher, the man who jumped into the water to try to save Lester Stillwell, his grave also. And then, like I said, if you do a search on Google Maps for the Matawan Maneater, there's a little pin, and if you click on the pin, there's a picture of the shark mural that they have.
Oh wow. Yeah, I'll have to look that up too, because that sounds amazing. Like
Yeah.
to be able to do, I mean, art on like a smaller scale is complex enough, but when you get into the broader pictures like that, like I'm always dazzled when people can put together things.
Yeah, and they had to be hanging off an active, it's the New Jersey Transit line. It's the train line that goes
Oh
from Matawan to New York City. So there's constantly,
god.
it's a small like bridge. It's not very tall, but right in front of it is the creek. Like you have to be hanging off of it to paint that, or bring a boat. I guess you could bring a boat over and try to
Oh
do something.
God. Yeah,
Yeah.
neither one of those sounds particularly appealing.
So I don't know if there's any hauntings with that, but it
Oh.
is a creepy. Every time I drive
Yeah.
past that, because literally, my wife and I got married at a place that is on the Matawan Creek. So if it wasn't raining on our wedding day, you'd have pictures of we would have been standing in front of the waterway there
Well, of
in Matawan.
course.
But we didn't do it
Oh my
intentionally; it
gosh.
just so happened. That's what I think about it. Boy,
Oh
we got married right on where the shark attacks were.
I'm sure there's far more morbid, we'll say. It makes me wonder when you hear stories that took place back in a time like that, and so many of the deaths come from the fact that nobody thought it was possible, so they just didn't listen. If people had just like, I mean, to be fair, when it's something that's that out of the norm, it would be hard to believe. But at the same time, like, why would somebody come up with that for no reason? And no, we're just gonna carry on with business as usual and, bodies later.
Yeah, if you actually look at Google Maps and you follow, it's like a Keyport Inlet from the Atlantic Ocean, you have to follow this little tiny stream that goes goes in through Matawan. You're like, yeah, there's no way a shark is going to do that.
Gosh. And how do you spell that?
Matawan, or yeah,
Yeah.
Matawan is Matawan. Matawan National.
Oh, snap. That is talent for sure. It is a place you look at and you're like, nothing good is going to happen here. Wow.
Swampy marshland going out to the
And I do love all the kayakers taking pictures that look like they just came out of it. Wow. Yeah, that definitely qualifies. Holy smokes. A nice blood red 1916 next to it. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I am surprised to hear the debate about Jaws every time it comes up, because I'm like, that's a pretty terrifying movie. I mean, water can be pretty scary in and of itself, but I mean, come on. How would that not be horror?
I guess people think of slashers and like it's just not as specific. And it goes off the rails as you get to Jaws 2, 3, and four. Personally,
I have heard some wonderful things about the sequels for sure. Oh my gosh.
guess I'll move on to my third and final creepy place that I've been to in central New Jersey. We're going to the Jersey Shore. You ever heard of Asbury Park, New Jersey? Do you
I
know who
want to
Springsteen
say yes, that sounds familiar.
was? You
Okay.
wouldn't grow up in Asbury Park, but that's where there's a very well-known place called the Stone Pony that he played a lot, and still the Stone Pony is still there. It's the
Okay,
venue.
that's probably where I heard it was.
So he was kind of Asbury Park's big claim to fame. But Asbury Park was always even when I was a kid in the late 70s, early 80s, it had a boardwalk and a convention center and an arcade and rides. And we spent a lot of time there because my uncle lived both in Asbury Park and town over. So I spent a lot of time there as a kid. So I knew the area, and then the area kind of started breaking down. All the rides went away, but there was still a convention center, so still spent time there. But this is right next to the convention center, right in Asbury Park. So this is the story of the SS Morrow Castle. A lot of people consider this one of the first major tourist attraction based upon a tragedy on the Jersey Shore.
Oh,
So the Morrow Castle was a luxury cruise ship in the 1930s that went between New York City and Havana, Cuba. So we're talking about the 30s here, early 30s. So that's the Depression. That's a lot of people don't have money, but this liner, I think, had 300 plus 400 people in it. So this is people with money, depression-proof people, just cruising from New York City to Havana, Cuba, and back to New York City. On their way, in 1934, they're coming from, I believe they're going. Yep, they're going to New York. They're already in Cuba, coming to New York. So they're going north, past along the Jersey Shore. The captain dies mysteriously. It said he had stomach issues and then died. Then later the next day, on Saturday, September 8th, 1934, the whole boat catches on fire. Smokes, just the entire deck is on fire. People are jumping off the boat into, now we're talking September 8th, it's the water, they said it's chilly, it's cold. People are jumping off the boat into the Atlantic Ocean and trying to swim. They said it was a storm. So you had a dead dead captain, a fire and a storm. And these people are just jumping off. But there's a really, really, really good like newsreel from 1934, from when it happened. You can look up online if you look up the SS Morro Castle. It's amazing because it's literally from 1934, and it's like a whole newsreel of people, like you can see them jumping off the boat and coming to shore, and thousands of people standing around on the Asbury Park boardwalk just watching this boat. So now it has no power, no rudder, and it's just being beaten towards the coast. It lands aground literally like 100 feet from the convention center. Now the convention center is like a big pier that juts out into the Atlantic Ocean. So it comes to a point where you can almost like throw a rope and get to the boat. But by this time, by the time it was like early morning, or it was a while, like people have already, those that were going to die, dead. Those that came jumped out, either, you know, they made it to shore or they drowned. And 137 people died as this happened. It was aground for months, and it became a tourist attraction. People would stand there and just look at it. They would have boat tours out to it so people could go. And they, I believe they had almost like the zip, like pre-zip line, but a line from the convention center to the boat, so you can bring people to the boat and walk around and check it out. They had, there's postcards they did of the boat, like drawings of the boat ashore, right? Y'all, here I am in Asbury Park. I saw the boat. And it was hundreds of thousands of people actually came to look at the boat and look at the wreckage and see where 137 people are. So it became like this morbid attraction on the Jersey coast, which always makes me think, like, I listen to like a lot of true crime podcasts, a lot of serial killer podcasts. And one of them,
last stuff
on the left, and they always talk about whenever they have an interview and how, why are they so popular? And whoever's interviewing goes, why true crime now? And it's like, it's been true crime ever, always. People were always interested in death and interested in serial killers and like tragedies. And this
absolutely
is just, this was something that, like, hey, I got my postcard from this tragedy where 137 people died. So, you know, there's a bunch of monuments. They erected a slab right in front of the convention center going over this. But a couple of years ago, they have haunted ghost tours through Asbury Park because there's a haunted hotel. There's a whole, Asbury's got some hauntedness because they're all, you know, it's been a popular destination in on the Jersey Shore for a long time. And this is the area of New Jersey where you've got a lot of Revolutionary War stuff going through. Like the town I live in has a plaque, you know, kind of like Washington stuff, because it's on the route of the Revolutionary War. So there is history of pretty old history around there. Old for us, not old for Europe. So we went on this the haunted tour, and as they went past where the Morro Castle was where it came around, they always say, like, people report hearing, like, in the middle of the night, if you're on the beach, screams, figures in the ocean, and a ghost ship in the water. So this is an area where they say it's kind of haunted because the amount of people that come in. And there is a side. In the 1800s, another ship went aground in roughly the same place where 300 people died. And there's another plaque to that. So this is a weird spot where a lot of people have died off the coast and shipwrecks. And so they say it's kind of a haunted area at the convention center.
Man, especially like statistically speaking, the odds of two ships having a problem in the same location across that whole shore.
Yeah, you know, that was something I found out. Actually, I found out today because I was just looking, you know, brushing up on Morro Castle. And a guy had written about it, and it was like, it was German immigrants, 300 German immigrants. I guess it was like, we're talking 1800, so it's a ship like sails, like, you know, like, not, this was like a, you know, like a steamboat. This looked like a Titanic.
Yeah.
This was like a old sail ship that just ran aground. And,
Minus fire extinguishers and all the other lovely safety features we have since developed. I was disappointed when I lived in California. I didn't get out to, I believe it's the Queen Mary that's in Long Beach. I would have loved to have gone through that for Halloween because, of course, they do ghost tours there too. So that would have been a fantastic experience. I've seen it from the shore, but did not make it on board. So I don't know. I don't know if I have it in me. Like I say that I would like to go to these places, but then I think about how I am like in my own yard and it's in the dark. And I'm like, you know, maybe you should just keep that image of yourself in your head that you are brave and that you can go do these things and then just move on.
That's it. There's a place in Philadelphia, Eastern State Penitentiary. You ever heard of that place? It is an old prison where they do tours. They'll actually do an overnight stay where you can sleep in like the cells because they say it's
Sleep.
just yeah. They say it's very haunted. It has the cell the cell for Al Capone is there. But every Halloween they do an amazing haunted walk, and you're walking through like the actual prison, and every wing is a different theme, and they have the ability you wear a glow stick if you a glow necklace if you allow them to touch you and pull you away from your group like they do like the
Oh,
fun stuff.
yeah.
We went there 1 year. It was phenomenal. At the end, they have a speakeasy where Al Capone's cell is. So they have everybody like dressed up like flappers, and they give you a drink, and you stand around. And they have every cell has something in it. Like there was a fortune teller in one cell, and there was like a bank
Oh.
account in another cell. And you just walk through. It was like going back into the 20s. But
Oh, that sounds awesome.
it's just like a really creepy place. And as you're like, when I think about, do I want to go and sleep there when it's not Halloween and just hang out? I'll go back when it's Halloween.
Yeah, I definitely feel like the term sleep is used very loosely there because it's more like shit your pants every time you hear a sound rather than sleep.
And the place, I mean, the place looks like a prison from the 1800s. It still looks, I mean, and it's right outside of the main part of Philadelphia. It doesn't fit there. It's just really weird when you come up upon it. Like, oh my God, like the guard towers are still there and everything is, it's like,
Oh,
oh,
wow.
that's weird.
There's one that's probably like an hour and a half from where I am. It's called Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. And they do a lot of the tours and stuff. And they've actually converted part of it into a distillery and a restaurant. So they do all the moonshine and stuff up there. And it needs to be on my list. Like it is that close. I have no excuse for not getting up there. So this year, I'm trying to plan my October now so that I have literally no excuses. I knew months ago I was going to do this. This is happening. Let's go. I definitely miss. We had a really cool haunted hayride from where I am up in New York. And last I knew, they don't actually do it anymore, but it was like a 25 to 30 minute ride, like through these orchards and stuff. And they would have people that, you know, reached out and grabbed you from the bushes, or they came out with their bladeless chainsaws and everything else, and it's an experience.
Oh
Tell me about Salem.
no. Okay. I'll shift gears because you said I did a few hour listen to the podcast, and I listened to the Salem one, and about yeah, it's probably 5 years now because it was way pre-COVID, and time doesn't go right because of COVID. My brain doesn't work anymore. I don't know how long ago things were, but.
That's, I feel like that's done that to everybody. It's really weird.
But so my wife and I went to just wanted to go to Salem, check the place out. And we went, I believe it was June. So it wasn't, I have no interest in going there when it's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, I want to see things. I don't need to be crushed by hundreds of thousands of people. So we
Yeah.
stayed, we got a booked a real nice hotel. It was on the top floor, had roof access. It was really weird. Like you climb this weird ladder and you got to stand on the roof, and it was probably 5 stories tall. So and then there's not a lot of tall buildings in Salem, and it was like right in downtown Salem, right where everything kind of was, and you can stand up there and just look around Salem. So, really nice place. Like, this is was called The Merchant. Like, this is really nice. So, we decided to book a ghost. We only stayed for 2 nights. So, one night, first night, we booked a ghost tour and did a whole thing. And as we're going through the ghost tour, the tour guide stops in front of our hotel. And she goes, "This is probably considered one of the most haunted buildings in Salem." And my wife and I looked at each other, and like
Surprise.
the tour guide looked at us, saw us looking at each other. She goes, "I guess you're staying here." We're like, "Yeah." And we didn't really look. My wife just looked for a nice place and booked it. I wasn't looking for, what's haunted and what's not. So what we learned, and I it was on one of the most haunted places on your podcast, was it was the house of George Corwin, who is the guy that was responsible for pressing Giles Corey. Now, Giles Corey is the only man that was killed during the witch trials, and he wasn't hung. He was pressed with rock. And the most fun, the thing I always love with that story is that they needed him to confess or profess, and he wouldn't. And they kept on putting rocks on him, and they said, "What do you have to say?" And he goes, "More weight." That was like the best, like his last words were "more weight," because
Yeah, like screw you guys.
he wouldn't lie. So this the hotel had been rebuilt, but the foundation, the basement, is the same. You can actually look at it and see that the stone of the foundation doesn't match the rest of the building. So when they rebuilt the building in, I forgot when, 1800s, they left the foundation and just built this new building on top. So it's the basement where he was rumored to have locked up witches and tortured them. And they say that because of that, the building's haunted, and because they never replaced the basement, they never got rid of the haunted, which is are down there. So, that kind of like, oh, this is fun now that we go back to our room. So as you walk in, there's vents that look down into the basement. And I think that I don't know what they had, like a laundry down there. Like there was activity, there was lights, and you could see through the vent in the floor. So I took out my camera and I took a picture through the vent. So I can take a picture of the basement. Like, there's the haunted basement. Haha.
Yeah.
We go up to our room. I go to sleep, have a nightmare. The nightmare was I was slipping down like a wall, and every time I reached up to grab a part of the wall, there was glass, shards of glass in the wall, and I would reach up and have to grab onto it. Shards of glass were breaking through my hand, and I would
Oh.
slide and it would rip my hand. I would reach my next hand up, and there was glass through my hand. And I woke up like, oh, that was nuts, crazy. That morning, I wake up, I go to into the bathroom to take a shower. I step down, and on the floor was a piece of glass, and I stepped on a piece of glass. I took a picture of it. It was like a thick, it wasn't like a shard. It didn't cut me, but it was like if you dropped like a on the rocks glass, and that there was a chunk of glass. It was like I broke nothing in the bathroom. There was no glass in the bathroom. It wasn't there for what I knew of, all day when we were in and out of the bathroom. But I stepped on a piece of glass walking into the shower. I took a picture. I'm like, this is, I'm not, I love these stories, but I don't truly believe in haunt or ghosts or stuff like that. But I
Oh.
love, but this was just weird. I'm like, why is there a piece of glass? Why did I have a nightmare about glass? And why is there a
Holy
piece of glass?
shit.
I'm like, well, that was weird. So we finish our trip to Salem. I come back. I've got all my pictures on my phone, and I'm flipping through my phone, and I get to the picture of the vent to the basement, and that picture glitches on my phone. I only can see half of it. The other half is black. I only see half of the picture. And I scan to the next picture, it's fine. I go back to that picture, I see the full picture, and then it glitches, and I only see half of it.
Oh my God.
This is just, it was just weird. It was just that picture of the basement. So, like, well, that's just weird also. Then I get a new cell phone. The pictures transfer over, and a new cell phone still doesn't. That picture, only that picture glitches of the basement. Oh, Journey.
You played. She's been so good. She's been laying here sleeping this whole time. And now she's gotten up and she's like fussing at me. Journey hasn't even been in here. I'm feeling a little neglected, but oh my gosh. Yeah, I would I man, it's such a gray area. I really don't 100% know what belief I subscribe to in particular, but yeah, like you said, I mean, I love the stories, like just the thought of the what if, and you know, what trying to run through all the possible explanations in your head and sorting things out. And well,
I'm more of a Scully than a Mulder, but I'll give me evidence.
oh,
I'll pay attention
absolutely.
and throw a piece of glass under my foot after I have a nightmare about being cut by glass. I'm tilting my head like a dog trying to figure out something.
Oh, there you are. Did you hear me? Come here. Come on. Maybe, maybe not. These two. Yeah, that's. And since I've had pets, so Journey was the first dog I've had on my own as an adult. We always had dogs and cats growing up until we realized I was allergic to cats. But there is something about when a dog stops and just stares at something, or like, the hair on his back will stand up because he's very protective, kind of territorial. So when he sees something, and Ripley, she doesn't bark as much. If she hears or sees something, she's just kind of going to sit there and observe and check it out. So there have been a couple of times I'll come around and, you know, the two of them are sitting next to each other, staring off into another room. And I'm like, no, what is this? I don't care what you do, but you cannot continue to sit there like that. Like, go find a toy, go play tug, whatever you got to do. Just stop freaking me out. I'm not dealing with this.
Staring into a corner, and you're like, "What's in the corner? Why are you staring in a blank corner?"
Yes. And I was super nervous. I think it was my episode with Lisa, where I was telling her about the crawl space under the house, finding that door wide open. And I mean, thankfully now, since then, my yard has been fenced. So, and there's been a plumber under there, and he confirmed that there were no signs of anything under there. But yeah, no, I love horror. I'm also a huge true crime fan. I've been into that more consistently than I have been horror, because horror is more of a recent, the last, I'd say probably 3 years, I think now. But yeah, I'm a chicken. There's no way around it. There's no hiding it. I am absolutely a chicken. And thinking of like movies that were filmed close to you that, you know, people kind of tend to gatekeep with. Sign. There we go. Hey.
Tail wagging.
What? No. I give up. Of course, the one time I open the door to let them out and they both follow me back in here, anyways. Yeah, so Signs was actually filmed like 35 to 40 minutes from where I grew up. So, growing up like around the cornfields and seeing a lot of these locations that just kind of ring a bell. That's why I try not to gatekeep, because I'm like, you know, there's certain things about different movies or different themes that are just might hit the right note with people, and it's going to be their version of horror. So we just never, you never know what you're going to find when you're creeping around the local places. But I'm definitely going to look more into Jake Brown Road because.
Yeah, like I said, there's not a lot out there, but I do have, like I said, my pictures will pop up, my old pictures will.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, I feel like there's got to be a couple of good horror stories buried in there somewhere.
I mean, if you
Just
want to
never know.
close this thing out on some silly cryptids that pop up in New Jersey that are kind of rip-offs of other cryptids.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got three quick ones that are.
Oh, let's hear it.
We've got Hoppy, which is a basically Nessie in the Lake Opatcon, Opatcon Lake, Hopatcong. So I guess they just call him Hoppy. So he's a 40-foot long serpent with the head of a dog,
Oh.
he's friendly.
I mean, if he's got the head of a dog, obviously, got to have that good nature to go with it.
In 1894, he was spotted, and even though he was friendly, they shot at him, and there was no effect. I
Humans.
guess they scared the poor little Hoppy away.
No.
That's the Lake Opatcon is in kind of middle of northern New Jersey.
He probably just wanted a treat. All he had to do was give him a little bit of food.
Which is.
Course, then he might have followed him home.
And we have Big Red Eye, which is basically Bigfoot, but he's got glowing red eyes. So he's more than Bigfoot.
Who says they can't have a baby?
Exactly. So he's been in northern, the northwest corner of the state. So more really upstate New York, kind of like that part of New Jersey that's really
Shit.
into New York. But, a constant sound of primitive wailing noises coming from the woods, lasting hours at a time. This poor Big Red Eye. But that's just our Bigfoot. And then there's Frogman. There's Vegetable Man. New Jersey has Mantis Man. He's a giant bug-like creature that lives. Oh, it's another word I'm not going to be able to say. That's all these Native American words for our rivers and stuff. Musconetcong River in Hackettstown. The fishermen witness the mantis man, who is tall enough to stand in the bottom of the lake without being submerged, which would make it over 9 feet tall.
Oh, God. There's not enough raid in the world.
And the pictures that I saw of him is just a giant mantis standing in the middle of a lake.
Oof.
Praying
That sounds
mantis.
like some driftwood to me.
Like some drunk fisherman to me.
Their excuse for why the fish got away. You would not believe what we saw.
Mantis took him.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, Vegetable Man. When Damien hit me with that one, I just and I don't know if you saw or not, they're actually going to be throwing a Vegetable Man festival. And
Yeah,
I
I mean,
am
we've got the
so
squash,
excited.
we've got the frogman, we've got vegetable man.
Give celery its day. Oh, I'm surprised that one hasn't really like caught on because I can see kids using that as an example. Like, you tell me I'm not going to be big and strong if I don't eat my vegetables. He is a vegetable. Like, and he's just, everybody makes fun of him. Why am I going to eat my vegetables?
Like cannibalism,
Or Vegetable Man. Oh my gosh.
man. So that's the three weird copycat cryptids. You know, we know about the Leeds Devil. There's enough about him.
Oh my gosh. That's fantastic. It's really cool. I'm excited that you had gone to these places because that's a whole extra level to it instead of just knowing of them.
Yeah, this was, and it's, and like I said, the two of them are literally miles away, and I grew up in a town called Saraville. So if you knew John Bon Jovi, he grew up in Saraville. So that's our,
Oh.
my town's claim to fame.
Oh, that is
Or
an awesome thing. That is fantastic. I wish, I mean, the town that I grew up in, they're absolutely nothing. But like 20 minutes away is where Bill Pullman is from. So I was like, you know, I can hop on the Bill Pullman bandwagon. Okay with that.
There's a,
Oh,
there was
man.
another there was another haunted place, literally in the town I grew up in, but I hadn't, and I know where it is, and my grandfather lived near there, and it was a an inn that had been open since the 1700s, and there was hangings that went on there, and it burnt down. It was a lot to it, and I really didn't know much about it. I know I've been around it. There was a bar that was right there called, when I was a kid, it was called the Robert E. Lee, which was a weird place, weird thing to call a bar in the middle of New Jersey in the 70s. But
Bigger.
yes, I remember being
Hey.
looking at a bar named Robert E. Lee. But that's right next to where this other creepy.
Stop. She's such a baby. It's ridiculous.
My two are upstairs, so there's
You say hi? You gonna say hi? No? You're just gonna sit there. It doesn't matter. Journey, I think he's kind of figured her out, and he knows that if he picks up a toy, her focus is getting that toy. It doesn't matter if there's six other ones that she could have. She needs to have what he has right now. So he'll go get one and play with it for a minute. And as soon as she starts fussing at him, he gives it to her and walks away and goes to find somewhere quiet to lay down. So I think he's kind of got her number at this point.
Yeah,
But.
my older dog has found interest in toys she never cared about because the puppy liked the toys. I'm like, you've never touched this toy until the puppy started playing with it, and now you want it.
I mean, they can't have something that I could have. That's mine. It's all mine. What's yours is mine. All of it. She's finally left my shoes alone, which I am particularly grateful for. I got real tired of having to put them up all the time. So awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on to chat. Do you have any other stories?
That was kind of where I, the cryptids were where I kind of ended it off. So a quick little fun thing.
Perfect. Well, I definitely appreciate you taking the time to come on and share that with me, especially after being in rough shape all week. And that takes a lot
Yeah.
out of you.
Interesting.
Oh, you cut out.
I said, I hope it was interesting.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I always love, especially when people have been there and have seen things themselves. And I had, like I said, the Jake Brown Road thing. I'm just gonna go sit there and look through pictures all night and then have nightmares. So we'll be fine.
I'm sure my pictures are on a 3x5 floppy somewhere in my house. That's how old it is.
Oh man. See, and I felt bad because my mom, they just came down a lat 2 weeks ago, and she found a CD that had my pictures on it from when we went to the Thousand Islands when I was like 14. And I was like, I don't even know if my laptop will open for CDs at this point. I don't even think to check for it anymore.
I don't have a
So,
3.5-inch floppy drive anymore.
oh,
Don't know where to even look at
man.
that.
Yeah, no kidding. Kids don't even know what that is. They're like, huh? Hey, All right, I'm gonna take it before they go on again. Yeah, definitely appreciate that, and thank you. You know, for listening and for entering the contest for Damien's books and all that good stuff. We appreciate anybody that takes an interest in it and has anything to contribute. So,
Thank you for inviting me.
oh, yeah, absolutely. And we'll definitely talk soon.
Okay.
All right. We'll
Good
catch you
night.
later.
Bye-bye.
You too.